Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Enterprise Dish. We are wrapping up 2018 with my man Dux, who is back in the office. He's not abroad this time. And how's your December treating you, Dux?
Hey, buddy, it's great. Merry Christmas, and I wish you a Happy New Year.
Likewise. It's hard to believe that 2018, and I think we probably say this every year, but these years are just flying by, and there was so much content coming out from Microsoft. Obviously, a very good year for Office 365. Last known numbers were, it's above 160 million now commercial customers. Their last reported numbers were 155. So Office 365 blowing up, Teams blowing up. I mean, it was a good year. Microsoft's actually finishing the year as the most valuable company in the world by market cap standard. I mean, what better way for them to end the year?
Absolutely. And not only that, right? You see all the recent kudos and press around Satya Nadella about being the best CEO covered by, you know, leading publications like Forbes. So you're right. What more can they ask for?
Yeah, it's a good time in the Microsoft camp. We will be very curious to see what's happening in 2019. But before we get there, a report came out from Spiceworks that says by the end of 2020, 53% of businesses plan to use Skype for Business, 41% plan to use Microsoft Teams, 18% plan to use Slack, and 12% plan to use Google Hangouts, and only 1% plan to use Workplace for Facebook, which I can barely pronounce it, which is probably why most people aren't using it. What is your hot take on that when you hear those numbers?
Well, so a couple of things. On the surface, it sounds exciting, right? But if we unpack and kind of go to the details. So the first stat, 53% of businesses plan to use Skype for Business. But don't we know already that Skype for Business, especially in Office 365, would be deprecated?
Yep.
So is this talking about Skype for Business on-prem, right?
Yeah.
Now, mind you, it may still be around 2020. Mm-hmm. We never know, but Microsoft keeps saying it's going to go away. In fact, Microsoft themselves already migrated from Skype for Business just to exclusive use Teams. So I mean, it's good. It's encouraging. It's pro-Microsoft. But again, this Skype for Business, what does that mean? Is it on-prem? So yeah. That's my first question.
Yeah. The other thing, too, the way I look at this as well is obviously it's 41% are planning to use Teams, which is a good number when you look at how many hundreds of millions of people are using now Office 365. But I really interpreted that when I was reading this initially was like, okay, what they're really saying is that 41% of businesses will have migrated by 2020 from Skype for Business to Teams, because to your point, there's no reason to invest any more in Skype in any capacity at the business level.
Sure. Sure, and then I would also think that at least the initial use case, which is natural for organizations to use Microsoft Teams, is the same use case that they had for Skype, right? Chatting, calling. Mm-hmm. But then as it progresses, people see capabilities like being able to form a team and work on documents, create tabs, and bring in bots. I think that's where it will truly explode.
Yep, I agree. And then the last part here, which a lot of the press hooked onto for an interesting or whatever reason, it says 18% plan to use Slack. And depending on which side of the coin you're on, some people were saying that was really good, and other people were saying that's really bad. Candidly, in my opinion, I think it goes both ways. I think it just kind of cements that Slack is going to be around for a while. It's a company. They have a good product. It's not going to upset Office 365 in any capacity. And they are going to be that second place player, which is, I think, perfectly acceptable for a company like Slack, because Microsoft, being the most valuable company in the world, being second place to that, in my opinion, not so bad.
No, 100%. And you can look at other players out there, like if you go back to the enterprise file sync and share, right? You know, your Box, your Dropbox, they're still around. They're doing okay. Yep. It's not like OneDrive is, you know, taking everything away from them. They're still that market. In fact, I do know a lot of customers that have Office 365 still investing in other products that Office 365 already has, your Box, your Dropbox, and even Slack.
Yeah. And it's candidly, I would be honestly disappointed if Slack went away, because the best driver of innovation for Teams, in my opinion, is Slack becoming a better product, because Microsoft will look at it and say, we can't slow down because Slack will nip at our heels. And so they got to be real aggressive. And it's, I mean, good for Slack. There's definitely a market for it. Typically where I see, and I'd love to hear what else you hear, is that it's a lot of the smaller businesses, right? They spin up maybe G Suite and Slack real quick because it's very easy to do. And then as they mature and get get a little bit bigger, they realize that, hey, we need that granular control that Slack and G Suite candidly just don't offer. And then that's when they start moving over to that Office environment.
I mean, you said the keyword, easy to do, even to this day, right?
Yeah.
Like Slack can give Microsoft Teams a run for its money just with the login experience. Mm-hmm. I know Microsoft is working on it, but boy, the login experience, if you're a new user to Slack, it's clean, it's simple, you're in.
Yep.
And then the other thing is, if you're collaborating with other people outside your organization, mm-hmm. and then you have to jump on other Office 365 tenant, that experience is still very Microsoft. It's yep. very... You know, it's a traditional Microsoft way of logging you into systems. Whereas with Slack, you log in once, you see all your mm-hmm. Slack channels and all that.
Yeah, and you actually have a little bit more push in this area. What I would love to see in Teams, and this is a very self-centered world, is candidly just a Skype plugin that allows me to connect to those people, because this call is a perfect example of that we can't do inside of Teams because we use Skype. We're outside each other's organizations, and there's no way to get in past those barriers easily at this time.
So you're talking about Skype consumer, right?
Yes.
Got it. But why? Okay, so now I'm gonna play devil's advocate.
Sure.
Why can't we do this on Teams? We could.
Well, wouldn't we have to add you to our organization because we're...
No. So as long as you invite me a Teams invite, I can send you a Teams invite. We can do this in Teams with no problem.
I learned something new today. See, I didn't think that you could. Well, I guess I did. I guess I did know that you could because they do now support outside parties. Our challenge, or I should say more personally, my challenge is we have... So we have Teams, right? We have Teams. I'm losing my mind here. But we use a lot of outside contractors, even people such as like Mary Jo Foley, Aiden Finn. These guys are all outsiders who are on Skype. And so to get everybody to move is harder than for it to say just plug in Skype functionality, consumer Skype into Teams.
Yeah, but the beautiful thing they did with Teams, mm-hmm. This is one of the great things compared to other previous Microsoft products, is the meeting experience is as good, and it's very similar to Skype. So for example, Mary Jo, you send her an invite, as how you would to internal people. She just click on that link and she could do the call directly on the browser or through the Teams client.
See, this is why I like hanging out with ducks, because I learn things every single day, and it's December 21st and I'm learning more good stuff. And this is also one of the reasons why he travels around the globe and quite literally talks about Teams, because clearly he knows just about everything. It's amazing.
I try, buddy.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is that as long as you keep learning more, then I will eventually, because it's a quick moving environment. That's for sure. Microsoft is investing very, very prominently in that space.
100%. And frankly, it's already established itself as a legitimate, I would say, collaboration platform, where there's a lot of investment from other third-party organizations such as ourselves or even non-Microsoft product to plug into Teams as well.
Well, speaking of plug-in for Teams, you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, announced a new bot. Is this correct for Teams? Is it called Ava?
Ava. It's AvePoint Virtual Assistant. And the long term is Ava will provide a lot of great functionality to make it easy for business users to do traditionally what IT would have to do for them. So, for example, the initial features of Ava is Ava can retrieve your deleted emails or deleted files.
Really?
Because today, in order to do that in Office 365, you have to call IT or make IT do it for you. So if you have Ava, and it's free for everybody, you can download it, even yourself, Brad, download Ava, and you can say, hey, Ava, can you find my email or deleted email and or deleted file, and she'll get it back for you.
Interesting. Now, I'm going to ask a very blunt question, but I'm pretty sure I already know the answer. I'm assuming this has rights control and all that stuff. Like, I can't say, hey, Ava, go get Dux's email.
Absolutely. So it's still, it respects permission, security trim. So it'll only retrieve your stuff. And as you know, with Microsoft Office 365, anything that gets deleted, you have 30 days to retrieve it. So anything past 30 days, you have to think about what your secondary retention strategy is. And a lot of big companies, if you know they're bounded by policies or retention requirements, then you have to have a secondary retention strategy.
Yeah, absolutely, because you've got HIPAA, you've got Sarbanes-Oxley compliance, you got all sorts of things that just about every single regulation I would bet is probably longer than 30 days.
And even regulation aside, right? Like, I think just having a healthy backup strategy is important. Because, for example, let's say you deleted a SharePoint site and you want to restore one document in the SharePoint site. The way Office 365 works, and, you know, technically, you know, it's supposed to, you can't just get that one document. You have to retrieve the whole site, right? Mm-hmm. So having a secondary backup and secondary retention strategy allows for you to what they would call retrieve those item level, just that one document or just that one email easily.
Very cool. And you said that's free? That the
box? Ava is 100% free. And Ava works hand in hand with our cloud backup technology as well. So if you have our cloud backup, Ava can look at, you know, obviously anything beyond 30 days too. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. And where, I know this is a shameless plug, but where can people grab that?
On the Teams store. So go to your Teams, go to store, look for Ava.
There you go. Maybe everybody else will learn a little something else today too, just like I have.
Yeah. So in case you download Ava and chat with Ava, so it's a chat bot, you talk to her, tell her you love her and see what she says.
My wife is listening. I will have to make sure she understands. No, that's very cool, though. Being able to, that self-service model of being able to go out and grab your own, I don't want to say mistakes, but grab your own files rather than involving IT. I mean, that's huge overhead that you're saving.
Yeah, and then a lot of times, you're right, sometimes not even mistakes, right? It's like, okay, I'm cleaning up, you know, end of the year or spring cleaning, and then your boss comes to you a week later and it's like, hey, you know what? That document we worked on, that email, we actually need it.
Yeah. Yep. Or you just want to go grab an old version that you had. It's very, very cool. Very cool. Speaking of other somewhat cool things, this is not nearly as fun as Ava. Microsoft announced a new, it's not quite a web wrapper, I believe, but if you've ever gone to office.com and you've logged in for your Office 365 experience, you get that nice UI where you can jump around different apps and all that good stuff. Microsoft is bringing that to the Windows 10 desktop. I believe it's going to be replacing My Office currently. So if you have that installed, look for an update here sometime early next year, I believe. It's on the Insider Fast Ring right now. But it brings that office.com experience to the desktop, makes it easier to go find that old content that you've been using, jump between apps. And it's just a little, just a little bit more polish to that Office experience, sort of like what you were talking about there. Next, if they could focus on logins, that would be wonderful too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a good move. It gives you that app experience where a lot of people are used to, because they, you know, so far all the apps Microsoft has released, I think, is top notch. Mm-hmm. From, you know, Teams to the SharePoint app. You know, I love the SharePoint app on my mobile, and having this Office app just kind of, you know, continues to complete the story. You know, especially on the mobile.
Yeah, and fortunately, Microsoft has been embracing this for a while. But it's really good just to see them going all in on productivity. They're not trying to be bashful about what Windows is anymore. They know that Office is their core pillar going forward, and they are going to leverage Windows to make Office better, which is obviously a good thing for anybody using Windows.
100%. And then even outside of Windows, right? What this app allows people to do is, again, put it on their iOS devices or Android devices.
Yeah, Office is everywhere, which is, I mean, that was a goal. That was one of the, I don't know if you remember, but that was one of Satya Nadella's kind of first big things that he did after he became CEO. Mm-hmm. Steve Ballmer correctly had the company building the apps, but he wasn't sure when to release them. They were going to say, hey, we should wait for the Windows App Store or Windows 8 store apps of Office to be ready. And Satya came on board, and within like a month, they launched them. And it's clearly been a good move all around.
Is the Windows 8 store still around, or the Windows Phone store, do you know?
Technically, so the Windows Phone store is still around. I mean, it's really just a subset of the Windows store these days.
Got it.
So yes, it still exists, but that platform has been effectively sunsetted. It's not getting any major updates. It's Microsoft has.
Sure.
You know, if 2019 they can go without mentioning Windows Phone, I think they'd be happy.
Hmm. I mean, I love the Windows Store on my my device. I have a Surface Book, and the Windows Store, I think they're continually updating it.
Yes.
And I get my software there.
Yeah, they're actually looking at there could very well be a major overhaul to that store using potentially some Xbox tech.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we will. We'll see. I don't have all the details yet, but I know that they're working on bringing a more robust store that is just better performant and all that good stuff. Hopefully next year.
So how's your Surface Book coming? I see a lot of great kudos out there.
Yeah, so thanks for asking. I'm always happy to plug. It's beneathasurface.com. It's going well. This was my first book. Candidly, I had never been so nervous for a post to go out, right? Typically, like, I'll write a post, hit publish, and whatever. I move on with life. If it's a scoop, you kind of watch it a little bit. But this book, I had no idea how anybody would react. First off, I'd never written a book, so that was kind of a new experience. But getting this into hands of people who knew the story or knew parts of the story, and then getting into the hands of the fans and the readers, thankfully, they all like it. But I got to tell you, Matt, I lost a lot of sleep thinking, like, gosh, even the first version of the book had 4 grammatical errors, which have now been fixed. But like, I was really nervous. Thankfully, it's doing well. But
it's on my reading list next week. So I have the book. I'm going to read it. So if you were to pitch the book to everybody listening out there, what will they walk away with this book?
So they will walk away with an intimate understanding how Microsoft got out of a $900 million hole.
Mm.
It's, that is the best way to describe it. They launched that Surface RT. They said, there's a quote in there by Steve Ballmer. He said, we either built too many or not enough. And we all know the answer. And it was how the company took such a pivotal moment in their history and realized that, hey, maybe this is something we should keep going after. We shouldn't just walk away. And then how they actually turned that massive ship and now in a fiscal year 2018 made $4.6 billion in revenue.
Wow. Shift happens, right?
Candidly, a very well spoken way to say it, because can you just imagine if they would have said, we're done. Like, this didn't work out. Let's just walk away.
And you've seen they did that a couple of times, right? With the Nokia acquisition. And even before that, they bought a phone company called Sidekick, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that started the whole Windows Phone journey. And then Windows Phone, you know, as far as I know, you know, it's like, we tried, we did everything.
Yep.
But with Surface, you're right. Kudos. Good job. And now they came out with Surface headphones. So.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see some more of that stuff here in 2019. I'll give you one little teaser here for everybody who hasn't read it yet. Think about what was happening in Microsoft's history when that write down happened. When they wrote down $900 million, they had just got a new CEO right around this time, right? They did the write down, and Steve Ballmer left. So right around the Surface Pro 3 is when Satya Nadella came on. Their Windows Phone strategy, which they paid Nokia $8 billion for, was falling through the floor. Windows 8 was collapsing. Like, the turmoil that was happening inside of the company during the early days of Surface is, it's incredible that Microsoft actually got through that, candidly. Mm-hmm. And now that they are so much stronger for it, and the book really kind of dives into all the turmoil, all the bad decisions that they had made, all the good decisions are in there too. And it walks through that story from an insider perspective, and it took me quite a while to do, but I'm very happy it's done. I'm more happy that people are enjoying it. And it's a quick read. I think it's a printed 160 something pages like that.
Okay. All right. Good. So I'm looking forward to it. And I'll do a review online.
Please, 5 stars. You can only do a review if it's 5 stars. But one other thing, Ducks, I do want to hit on, because somebody tipped me on this. Microsoft, and this is very Microsoft, I think, they are going to do what I think is their most ambitious AI testing to date internally. Microsoft sent out, I believe it was from Rajesh, the new leader of Windows on the infrastructure side, I believe. Or not on the infrastructure, but the AI side. Yeah. He sent out an email to all full-time employees in the U.S. and said, hey, starting in January of in 2019, they are going to be collecting every single Microsoft email, message, audio file, video file that isn't marked confidential or personal to train their models. That is and they're going to roll this out eventually worldwide. They have state or local government regulations they have to deal with. But this is Microsoft dogfooding on the largest thing dog food level, other than maybe the insider program. At the company.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you recall at Ignite or maybe Inspired, they did a prototype demo of a scenario where you're doing a meeting in Teams and then you add a Cortana bot.
Yes.
So this bot will listen into the meetings, figure out action items, and as soon as the meeting is done, they'll send out all the action items. I mean, I would love that.
Yeah, it's great. And what they're doing here is they started with a small division inside the company, which you would expect, and they were prototyping it. And now they think they've got a good prototype, and so they need more data. And Microsoft is one of the largest companies on the planet, not just by monetary size, but actual employee count, over 100,000. And so what they're going to be doing is aggregating all that data and then training their models. The reason why I heard about this is that some people were a little concerned because it's, you know, parent company grabbing all your data. They're afraid that maybe water cooler conversations are going to get taken out of context or something like that. But the end result is that it's only going to help, one, their AI and ML stuff. But I really think how it's going to impact our lives the most is it's going to make its way into office.
100%. And I can't wait for it. I mean, this is not an easy task, right?
Because no, it's other not. Than
capturing the data, you know, the model will have to learn the nuances of the culture and the language and the situation, right? So, yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, this will be this obviously is a 2019 initiative. And as a perfect segue, Dux, since it is the end of 2018, I'm curious, and I didn't preempt you with this, so this will be a real hot take. What are Dux's goals for 2019? Professionally, personally, wherever you want to take it.
Yeah, so I think I would say three things, and they're all related. Mm-hmm. Number one is focus both professionally and personally. And what I mean by focus is really, I know this may sound cheesy, but really prioritize where I get best bang for my buck.
Sure.
In terms of how I spend my time, how I spend my energy and effort. So focus, that's one. And second is I really want to be intentional of learning. You know, here and there I pick up stuff and learn stuff. I read books, I read blogs. Mm-hmm. But I really want to be intentional around, okay, in the next, you know, first 3 months of the year, I want to learn more about cognitive services. Ergo, I'll jump on Azure, play around cognitive services. So that's one example. Or I want to learn more about digital marketing. So I have four key themes and topics I really want to dig deep and learn into. Mm-hmm. So that's number two. And number three, you will laugh, but I aim to travel less.
I respect that. Actually, that was one of my goals for 2018 was to travel a bit less, because in 2017, I probably did less miles than you did on a down year, but it was a lot for me. I think it was at least once or twice a month, every single month. And so 2018 was a goal of mine was to reduce travel, which I feel like I did. There's still real heavy pockets, but I totally understand that. I mean, travel's it's fun in some capacity, but it takes a toll on you.
No, I'm grateful. You know, I get to see places, meet people, enjoy a wonderful cuisine. But yep. At the end of the day, it does take a toll. And, you know, from a family time as well, right? Like,
sure, absolutely.
Kids are growing up. And like, who's this guy coming on weekends, washing his clothes and leaving again?
Well, at least they recognize. At least they recognize you. It could be worse. It could be worse. Well, those are all good goals, man. It's always good to have some, not some sort of, but have a North Star about what you're trying to do in the year ahead. And obviously, we hope that you're successful in all of your adventures.
Same to you, buddy. Same to you. Well, thank you so much. It's been an awesome year collaborating with you. And I look forward for more collaboration in 2019.
Yep. As I joked on Twitter, Dux, whenever you get AvePoint to buy you that golf stream, please name it Collab Force One. And the only thing I request is a ride to build and ignite. And that will be the way we end the show. You got anything else for us, Dux, before we shut it down for 2018?
No, I just want to say, you know, everybody have a phenomenal holiday season and a prosperous new year. And next year will be awesome. Always be grateful and looking forward to connect with everybody.
Wise words from a wise man. All right, everybody. That wraps it up for 2018 for the Enterprise Dish. We will be back in 2019, but hopefully your 2018 was as good as ours, and we look forward to helping you in 2019. And if there's any ever way we can do that, make sure to let us know. And Dux, what is the best way for everyone to reach you?
Hit me up on LinkedIn, Dux Raymond Tsai, or on Twitter, @MeetDux.
Well, thank you, Dux, for your time, and we'll catch everyone back here next time on the Enterprise Dish.